cities where the noises come oozing out. First there's a yell, and then there's a shout, cause it's a spook. Yeah, baby, he's a spook.
All right, we made it. October is here.
It is Halloween month.
It's Halloween season, and it's almost like, maybe it's just in my head, but it seems like as soon as October gets here, you can, like, smell it in the air.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the weather starts to change. It's October smells good. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. October has a nice autumny smell.
Yes, it does.
That is the autumn, right?
Yeah.
I thought so. Let me turn this down. Nice feedbacking. I mean, you could go outside and just take a big, deep breath. It's not just excruciatingly hot outside anymore. There's a breeze blowing. There's people burning leaves. Your neighbor over there, his name's probably James or Tom or Bill. He gives you a big wave while he's raking his leaves. And his little black cat runs out in front of him. He's got a little bale of hay behind him, some pumpkins.
I want to live in your neighborhood.
There's some people listening to this right now going, how did he know?
Yeah, exactly.
That is exactly.
I want to live in your neighborhood.
But no, man, as always, the whole month of October is a big deal for Kill Pop Culture and for our listeners. And, man, we've got some really, really cool stuff lined up, and we're going to talk about some of it right now. I'm not going to hit everything in any particular order. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of everything that's going on. We are going to be talking to the current owners of the Greg Hamilton House in Aberdeen, Mississippi. We'll talk more about Greg Hamilton House as we go, but just Google Greg Hamilton House, Aberdeen, Mississippi. There's tons of information about its hauntings, and it's been written about in books, including Dr. Alan Brown's, who's Kill Pop Culture alumni. There's the bell. We're going to be, well, let me back up. Next week, we will have Tony Kay from
Prism.
From Prism Paranormal Research and Investigation Society. Paranormal Research and Investigation of Mississippi. Oh, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Prism stands for Paranormal Research and Investigation Society of Mississippi. Okay. See, I just learned something.
Yep.
I just got some education. They're doing a public event at the Reich House. Am I saying that right? Reich. At the Reich House in Aberdeen, Mississippi. This is open to the public, so y'all can come do it with them and us. I don't know what night or nights we're going to be there. There's information about it on Facebook. They're going to be out there the 21st through the 27th, and again the 29th and 30th. It's going to be 6 p.m. to midnight. Admission is only $10. We're going to put information about that on our Facebook page. Miss Tony Kay from Prism is going to be in studio with us next week on next week's show. We're going to be talking to her about this and getting all the info out there. In the meantime, if you want to go to reich.cf, that's reich.cf, there's a lot of information on there you can check out about this house. It's going to be really, really cool. The weekend before that, is the first annual Haunted Hellfest. It's a two-day event out at Mr. Tony's in Tupelo, Mississippi, 5317 Raymond Avenue. Day one, which is October the 20th, that Friday, you're going to have Roses Unread, Five Stories, and Six Down Sunday. October the 21st, that Saturday, you're going to have Hell's Heathens, Seeking Seven, Killjay, Firewater Revival, and Affliction of the Absent. So Killjay's going to be out there. But we're going to be representing both brands, Kill Pop Culture also, because there's a couple of bands on this bill, at least one or two, that haven't been on the show yet. And we're going to try to snatch them up and have a little combo with them. It's an all-ages event, $10 admission. There's going to be a haunted maze, face painting, full bar. Oh, yeah. Halloween costume contest, $100 cash prize, food, and beer pong.
Beer pong is the thing I am looking forward to the most. And you know how I am about the Halloween costume contest stuff.
Yeah, Ty was telling me that the beer pong stuff is getting a lot of feedback. There's a lot of people interested in that.
Yeah.
We've also got On this week's show, we're talking to Kill Pop Culture's own Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. I'm sure that name sounds familiar because they're sponsors of the show. And they came in a couple of weeks ago and did an interview with us. We had a good time talking to them about paranormal stuff. So we're going to kick it off by getting with them just here in a few minutes. The Tupelo Haunted Castle with our friends Barney and Josh that put on the HorrorCon.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing something with them, hanging out with them. We may make an appearance or two. And there's another special interview that I've got lined up that's kind of a surprise. I may talk more about it in the next episode or two. But there's going to be, unless something goes horribly wrong, there's going to be 5 episodes, counting this one, in October.
We're going to be busy.
Well, it's possible that the final one might air like November 1st or 2nd. But still, it'll be happening. Oh, you guys know how time travel works. We're going to time travel that stuff, like this interview we're fixing to do here in a minute. After the interview, we're going to have our good buddy, Sean Cancer Slayer Frank, in the studio with us, talking about his top 10. If everybody listened to last week's show, we did the top 10 greatest wrestlers of all time. Each of us did a list. We asked our fans to send in lists. A couple of them did. We're going to read those off. He's going to read his off, and it's going to be awesome. And speaking of top 10 lists, make sure you stay tuned because we're going to announce our next one that we need from you. I'm pointing at the microphone because that's the way I get information out to you with this.
Oh, he screwed it up. Wiggle it.
There. So you, the listeners, need to send us your list that we're going to announce here in a little while. Since we're going to do a Shadow Stalkers interview, why don't we play their commercial?
Let's play their commercial and get right into it.
Oh, they're fixing to have a new one pretty soon, too.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the old one because we haven't finished it yet. I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. All right, well, of course, we know who you are, but for our listeners, would you introduce yourselves?
I'm Michael Gordon. I'm with Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, and my teammate, Brenda Pennington, she's also with Shadow Stalkers.
She's kind of shy. She don't want to talk much, but we're going
to... Not much.
Man, it's good to have y'all in the studio with us. Of course, we hear from you in some form pretty much every episode because y'all are our sponsors. We thank you for your sponsorship, your support of the show. We couldn't do it without you. And I want to get into how everything got started with Shadow Stalkers. But first, I want to get your opinion on something. It's October now, the Halloween season. I call the whole month of October the Halloween season. It seems like the paranormal stuff kicks up around that time. Is that just a mental thing because we know it's Halloween time? Or is there something to that from your end of things as a paranormal investigator?
Well, I think a lot of it's hype. Now, there are some cases that do kick up around October, but the paranormal can come around any time.
Right.
It's not just in October. From my experience, like with Halloween, All Hallows Eve, there seems to be less going on than more.
Really? Huh.
The only exception that I can remember was, I think it was 2001, when there's a full moon on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the energy from that was severely intense. But normally, Halloween, in my opinion, there's not much going on.
That's interesting. Of course, you hear a lot of stuff and I may be getting the folklore wrong, but I've heard that the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest that time of year. Do you see on your side of investigation, of course, like you said, paranormal happens all year round, but is there any time of year where it seems like there's more activity than others?
Usually around the new or full moon, electrical storms, thunderstorms. There has been documented cases from other paranormal teams that during or after a severe storm or electrical storm that the paranormal activity picks up. Mm-hmm. To me, it could be before the storm or after. Then again, it may not be nothing.
So that's a lot to do with energy. I hear a lot about energy around paranormal investigators.
What about the eclipse?
Oh, yeah. How did that do, the eclipse?
Not really much going on from what I could tell.
Okay.
I was expecting it to be more amped up, but really didn't feel or see anything as far as paranormal. Now there was, because the moon and the sun crossing each other, the energy from that was a little intense, but as far as the paranormal, not really nothing.
It almost, what little bit I've been around it, it seems like fishing. You go fishing, and you might go to the best fishing hole in the world and not catch a single thing, but then sometimes you might go out there and just catch a fish every time you cast a line out, and it seems a lot the same way. You might go to the most haunted place in the world and not get one peep, but then you might go the next day or the next week and just get all kind of EVPs and your meter's going crazy and all that stuff, right?
Exactly. We went to a place that was supposedly extremely haunted. We didn't get nothing. Went into somebody's house and was getting all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, you never can tell what you're walking into. They say it's a ghost. You might go in there, might not get anything. You go to the next one, not expecting to get anything, and you get everything.
Right. So you probably, I would assume, if you go somewhere that you think is allegedly haunted and you don't get anything, it would probably stand to reason, I guess, that you would try to come back another time. And then after a couple of times, if you still don't get nothing, is that when you draw your conclusion that maybe it's just in their head or their refrigerator making a noise or something in the attic?
Well, we don't take everything as paranormal. We try to debunk as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Try to rule out man-made or the wind or whatever.
Right. Squirrels. But squirrels can make you think your house is possessed.
Raccoons, either one.
Right. Yeah, I've had a squirrel in my attic before, and I was like, uh-oh. Time to call the exorcist. Well, let's get back to the beginning, man. How did everything get started for y'all individually? Did y'all each have a paranormal experience that set you on this path, or have you just always been curious about it?
I kind of grew up in it. I think my first experience was around 3 years old, and it used to scare the crap out of me up till I was about 17 or 18. I'm like, why do I need to be scared of this? And I've always been interested in anything paranormal, whether it's ghost stories, UFOs, Sasquatch. I loved it. Vampires, werewolves, which,
yeah,
you know, they're not real, but it's still interesting.
It's still, it's entertaining either way.
And for the longest, a lot of people growing up, oh, you're just crazy, you know, you're just lying, trying to get attention, whatever. So I kind of shut down from it until I met somebody named Jerm Farrow.
Guilty.
And we talked about it, and years later...
We actually did, wasn't it our first little trial run investigation at Mom and Dad's old house that night?
Yeah, a little toy vacuum cleaner come on by itself.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It did it for the longest time. You remember, even I took the batteries out of it, and it still would do it.
Yeah, and then the door, the closet door would slide open.
Yep. So, That was always fun.
And from there, me and Jeremy talked about getting a team together, and he's like, well, I don't think right now is the right time. And I got a job traveling a lot, and once that job ended, found another one, and me and him talked, like, you know what, let's do it. So we founded the Independent Paranormal Research Team, which was there for about 4 years, and we disbanded. Then I still had that urge to do something as far as paranormal. So I called a friend of mine up, Kim, and told her, I said, I need somebody that's into the paranormal that I can trust. Would you want to be part of the team? She's like, sure. And Brenda, she was helping me out, running around doing a lot of stuff. I was like, you know what? Whether she believes or not, she's going to be part of it. And I think the more she's been around me, the more she's starting to see things and
start to go from skeptic to believer, huh? Lean that way?
I've always kind of believed in the afterlife.
Right.
And I kind of feel sometimes that some of my loved ones are around me.
Yeah.
Maybe helping me, protecting me, giving me clues.
Right.
If you wish. And we was talking about it, and it's like, you know, let's just see how, you know, see what this is.
Yeah.
And so we did an investigation at the museum, and I'm just trying to learn what I can.
Sounds like you're a little bit like me. Like, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm open to whatever, because nobody knows, you know, in my opinion, nobody knows definitively anything. So why not welcome the ideas from each side? It's very entertaining either way. Even at the end of the day, if we find out we were totally wrong the whole time and there's no ghosts at all, I still had a blast talking about it and going with these investigations and this
and
really cool
fun.
Stuff. Yeah.
But
you can't help but become less and less skeptic when you see more and more results from these investigations, you know?
I've caught a couple of glimpses at work and even felt something, you know, a presence
right
there. So it's kind of coming to me a little bit. I'm not ready for a full apparition or anything like that.
You're not ready to jump in full AI. I understand completely.
Those are fun.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to take a shower.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. People have asked me before, since I'm borderline skeptic, they would be like, well, what would it take to convince you? And I'm like, I don't know that I would want to see what it would take to convince
right.
me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I want to see a ghost, like, full blown on, because then I would have to start going through that whole thing with myself. Like,
yeah.
Did I really see that? Like, did, you know, because then at that point, it's no longer curious. I have to confront, you know, the fact that it's
yeah.
real.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if I'm ready for that.
The funny thing,
to be honest with you.
The funny thing with him was he's always interested in, you know, chomping at the bit to go do the stuff, go to these places. And when we take him out to places and he has experiences, it doesn't, I mean, he still kind of keeps the same mindset, but at the same time, he's like, ooh, now I just got to figure out how the heck that happened. You know, I mean, because it's like when we went to the Athens Jailhouse. You know, you and me have been to the Athens Jailhouse plenty of times. Never had much of nothing happen. We happened to hit it on an active day that day. We were standing in front of the old fireplace in there and was doing a spirit box session. And it said something about a match.
Yeah, we said something about the fireplace and it just came across and said match.
So, I mean, no
sooner.
Why
would you say that word right then? You know, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Sometimes it's, you never know.
What would you say would be the most intense paranormal encounter you've ever had on any of your investigations? Like the most, quote unquote, real kind of thing that just made you go, whoa.
Let me think on this one.
Or if not the biggest one of the bigger ones that come to mind.
On an investigation?
Yeah.
Probably when we got a response to a walkie-talkie.
Really? So y'all were communicating with each other, and then somebody that wasn't with y'all?
No, I remember this too.
That
was the water test.
An EMF meter wasn't designed for the paranormal. It was actually designed to trace water lines underground, because running water gives off a small electromagnetic field.
I didn't know that.
As long as it's flowing.
And we was doing an investigation. I forgot where it was.
It was a private residence.
And I'm like, you know what? Let's try something. I said, we've got walkies. We've got EVP recorders. The EMF meters are designed to pick up EMF from running water. I said, why not put a walkie in each room, put a EVP recorder in front of it recording. Y'all go somewhere, bathroom or kitchen, turn the water on, key up the walkie, and start asking questions. And, all right, we'll try it. We've been in there, they've been in there maybe 5 minutes or so asking questions. They said, I think you asked a question, what's your name? And the mic or the walkie was still keyed up. It come across, John.
Just a clear.
Yeah, plain as day.
Plain as day, John. Here's the kicker. It only come through one walkie.
Oh, it should have come through all if it had been somebody on the other end.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's crazy.
The same room I was sitting in, it come through there, John. It was loud enough that the EVP recorder in the other room picked it up.
Wow. And for those who are listening, the EVP is just a room recorder that's, electronic voice.
Phenomenon.
Yeah. It's basically just a recorder that's just picking up everything that's going on.
Right. And that one kind of got me excited.
Yeah.
The other one that got me excited was another private residence, which that residence shouldn't been built where it was at, but it was. Lots of activity. It was, the spirits was messing with the kids. It was the only reason we went down there to investigate, and we found out why, because it was built on an old cemetery. We actually had me and another investigator had a light to flip on by itself, and there was nobody within 15 feet of it. I think the last investigation we done out there, we had our camera system set up, but we had the cable duct taped about every foot and a half to the floor and wall. It got ripped off the wall. That kind of made you stand up and pay attention.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Gulf Ordnance Munitions Plant, the old bomb factory, because we've been out there and y'all have been out there, and I wanted to kind of, you've been at the ordnance plant before, haven't you?
Yeah, we went out there.
I want to kind of compare notes here. We had some pretty crazy stuff happen when we were there that really made me, especially the picture. I'm sure Jerm showed you the picture.
I hadn't showed him.
You hadn't showed him yet? Okay. When we get done with the interview, we'll definitely show you that. In the what we call the back tunnel, I was just taking random snaps with my phone. And I had the flash on, of course, because it's dark in there. And I took a picture of what I thought was Jerm in front of me. And it's dark. So I was like, and I said something to Jerm, and his voice came from behind me. And I turn around, and Jerm is behind me, not in front of me. So it wasn't Jerm. And then I actually, and you talked about debunking. I wanted to make sure, that we just didn't get crossed up, and I took a picture of Jerm. So I got him to stand in that spot where I captured this image and compared. And I'm glad I did that, because whatever this was way taller than Jerm.
Seven feet tall.
Yeah, it's a big, tall, like almost a pumpkin head, like top figure, as tall as it was.
And then we thought at first it looked like it had on like it was mimicking me or something, like it had on the same kind of striped style outfit I had on, but that was not the case either.
Yeah, we did our background on it, and
well, that's actually pretty good as far as y'all's part.
Especially because the pictures I took before and after it, because this was a series of pictures. I was snap, 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 snap.
Yeah.
It was on that one, but it wasn't on the ones before, and it wasn't on the ones after. Yeah, you know, you flip through your iPhone, you just scroll through.
Yeah.
It's like no, 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 there, and then nothing after him.
Sounds to me like he was wanting you to see him.
Yeah. We got some EVP responses as well.
Yeah.
That were pretty eerie. So what was your experience at the ordnance plant? Was there a lot of stuff going on when you were there?
Well, when we did the initial walkthrough, we went towards the back bunker like y'all did, back tunnel. And it felt like that we was being escorted out.
By something otherworldly or literally?
Both. Yeah. What I could pick up, excuse me, was there was 5 to 7 soldiers escorting us out. You do know there's 7 soldiers buried out by the road on that property.
No, I didn't. I knew that there was a Civil War battle in that area. And that's what they say, that it's more haunted by that than by the munitions plant stuff. Because there's not really, from what I've gathered, confirmable records about the munitions plant and what went on there, because it was a secret. You know, it was a bomb factory. So they didn't just publish everything that went on. But there's rumors that there was a suicide there and that another person died. And there was loss of life as it operated a munitions plant, but the paranormal side of things comes hundreds or way years before that.
Yeah. A lot of it, which I think I still got the stories and stuff that Brent gave us.
Brent, yeah.
Yeah, Brent.
Yeah, Mr. Coleman, he's an expert on that place.
But yeah, there's 7 Civil War soldiers, Confederate soldiers, if I'm not mistaken, buried out by the road. When we was walking through there and coming out, there was felt like there was 2 on each side hunkered down with their rifles, and then it was like 1 or 2 pushing us out like they didn't want us there.
You just felt like that.
Yeah. It's one of those feelings where you've got your pistol on you or something, but you know it's not going to do you any good whatsoever.
Yeah.
And when you say the road, there's a lot of roads out there. You talk about the gravel trail. The trail that goes to the back tunnel?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we hoofed it. We walked that.
Oh, that's a long walk.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That place was huge, man. When it was it was a city. It was like a town.
Yeah. But you got to think, what y'all went to was just part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Originally, there was 7,000 acres.
Yep. There's an aerial photograph that I found on the internet, one of the few pictures of it taken, because, again, it was a secret location. That's why they put it out. One of the reasons they put it in the middle of nowhere, out here, you know, middle of Mississippi. But I mean, it's unbelievable. I forget how many buildings there were, but there was dormitories, cafeterias. It had its own post office, its own utilities built. I mean, this was a town.
Underground tunnel.
I found one of the underground tunnel hatches.
Yeah, it was self-sustaining like a town.
And it's all flooded down through there. I was like, man, give me a scuba suit. I will check it out.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing I find interesting, and I don't know how to research this. I'm sure it could be done, but there's people that deny the existence of the tunnels, but then there's people that are like, oh yeah, I know the tunnels are there.
Yeah.
The underground tunnels, and there's even places where you can see like a spot every so often, not like sort of like a manhole cover. Yeah. With it's an
kind
access.
Of a hatch.
Yeah, like an access. You can see it, but there's people that say, no, that's just rumors that there were underground tunnels.
Yeah.
Is that like some cover up stuff going on, or is there certain people that don't want you to know about the tunnels, or it's been a long time. It was World War II, so there's no telling how the rumors changed over the years, but
anybody knew anything's probably gone now.
Exactly.
Or underwater, you know. I mean, it's
Everybody. I mean, we went to one part.
You got a big bomb underwater down there. That's what they don't want you to know.
Yeah, well, that was one thing where people say that they used to set the bombs off so that they didn't accidentally discharge. And then there's people that say, no, that's not true. We never did that. But Rob himself was on that Halloween special. He went to school out there, and he said we heard the bombs going on.
Yeah.
It's like they were the old bombs that they had made, and they didn't want them just sitting there, so they set them off. So that they would, you know, like a controlled demolition of the bombs.
Well, I'm thinking that the tunnels was...
If anybody listening out there to this, any of our listeners, know any more information about these top-secret tunnels, let us know.
The tunnels, I think, is where they actually transported the bombs from the factory to the storage mm-hmm. or transport areas.
To the docks and stuff.
Yeah. That would make sense to me. Yeah. I mean, I would rather, if I worked at a bomb factory, I would rather them put a live bomb underground yeah. instead of out here with me.
Yeah.
But when we actually did the investigation out there, the tunnels, I don't remember how much we got as far as in the tunnels. We heard some stuff and come to find out it was like armadillos on the outside of the tunnel. I think where we got most of our evidence was in the three-story main building.
Oh, okay.
We actually got a...
That's a creepy looking building.
Yes.
Like, if I didn't know nothing about it, I would look at that and say, that's probably haunted. It looks like it's from a scary movie. I mean, it's...
We got a picture. I forget, was it second or third floor that didn't have the balcony?
It's the second floor.
Outside the window, picture was taken. Person that took the picture was on the inside.
Okay.
Like he's just standing there.
But there's nothing to stand on.
No. Exactly.
On the outside of the wall, there's no balcony on that.
I wonder if there ever was a balcony there.
I don't know. And one little...
I don't even think there was a door on that one. The door was on the top floor.
Yeah, there wasn't a door to go out there on to that.
You had showed me a picture in a window.
Yeah,
that was it.
Okay, yeah, because somebody had circled the ghost, and I was like, you don't have to circle it. It's pretty obvious. Like,
right.
it didn't take any... I mean, my eye went straight to it. I was like, whoa, that's got to be a part... Like, no, there was nobody there.
Right.
That's
and
crazy.
And his build was nothing like any of ours. I mean, it was at that point, it was too short to be Jeremy. It was too broad to be me. It was too short to be you. And, it was not big enough to be Tommy. So, you know, we tried to figure out and debunk, and we all took turns standing in front of this thing, you know, after we went
and
back.
Taking pictures, and we would come in cleared where this one was kind of a white, smoky look to it.
Like so. Wispy, yeah.
Yeah.
There was actually... what's the news station in Columbus?
WCBI.
WCBI did a thing out there, I guess, around Halloween. It's on YouTube. If you've never watched it, I'll show you the link. A news reporter went out there while they were doing an investigation, and she was sitting in the tunnel, and she got scratched.
Yeah. We've had that
happen
before.
She came running out of there, and it showed, like, on her arm, the, like, three... like three lines. She said something scratched her. And if you've ever been in that tunnel, there's not vines and branches or
no.
It's just an open.
Yeah.
There's not anything encroaching
on.
Yeah, it's massive. There's nothing encroaching on your space that would like a branch that would scratch you.
Especially if you're sitting still.
Yeah, because if you're just sitting.
I'm 6'4" and I couldn't even touch the ceiling.
Oh yeah,
it's how big it is.
They used to transport a lot of big stuff through there.
Yeah.
I would assume. And there was a lot of tunnels like that. Well, I guess you'd call it the corridors that connected the buildings.
But we got out there about 5 that afternoon, got everything set up, and we was there till like 5 the next morning.
Yeah, we pulled an all-nighter.
And me, Tommy, and a couple of more was out in the little HQ bunker, while the rest of them was in the three-story building. I saw 4 distinct shadows go across the main part of the building. Because the building's sitting here, then there's a street light here. The only way those shadows could have went across the main building like this, if the light had been shining up from the bottom.
Right.
Which there wasn't.
Hmm.
And it wasn't 5 minutes later, it sounded like you heard musket fire.
Oh, wow.
And I radioed them. I said, did y'all just hear that? They're like, hear what? I said, y'all didn't hear that musket fire? They're like, no. Nobody else in the bunker heard it. Just me.
Just you. Did you have your recorder on at the time?
No, I didn't. We had several people helping us out, and I think they all had the recorder.
Well, you remember, that was during the same time period, too, where nothing would stay live, all the batteries at the same time kept draining on everything.
You know, I've heard that before in other instances where batteries just drain really fast. And you talk about energy, you can't help but wonder if, you know, the energy is sucking up the energy from the batteries and stuff.
They will. It's not proven, but, and there's probably really no way to prove it, that ghosts are made of energy. So therefore, they would have to have energy to be able to manifest or speak or even move something.
Well, you know, that's what Einstein said. He said, we're just blobs of energy. Yep. And his theory is when we die, we just transfer into another sort of a... another form of energy. I may be misquoting his theory, but we're just masses of energy, and that's what we are before and after we take on this form.
Yeah.
And Einstein's pretty smart.
But we've had equipment brand new batteries in it, walk in, not even 10 minutes into the investigation, everything was drained. We had to replace them, and they've done that all night long.
I think battery companies should sponsor paranormal teams.
I agree.
Definitely.
Because you definitely need a lot of them, because most of the places you go aren't going to have power.
Exactly.
Now, you were with us that first time we did the museum.
Yeah.
You remember the spirit box fried?
Yeah.
It basically just... it made the most god-awful noise, and then it just quit. Just like brand new. And this thing just completely just says, nope. And just loud squeal, and then...
nothing.
And then when I took it apart, remember the motherboard inside of the thing?
Yeah,
it was just burnt up.
Burnt black.
And there was no reason for that, because it was brand new batteries. They were good batteries. But... it was just like something just did not want to talk to us that night, so it was like, no, I'm fixing to fix y'all.
And to burn a motherboard like that, even a small one, AAA or AA batteries is not going to fry a circuit board. You're going to have a massive surge of energy to fry.
A bigger charge.
Right, a bigger surge, yeah. Now, you guys deal with all kinds of spirits, and, you know, you mentioned, you know, possible family members and the good... you know, spirits, the spirits that are welcome, that you want to interact with. But a lot of people also talk about spirits that you don't want nothing to do, the darker spirits, the, you know, dare I say, evil spirits.
Malevolent,
is that the word?
Yes.
How can you spot the difference? And is it possible that a bad spirit can try to trick you into making you think it's a good spirit, like, hey, this is okay, it's Maymaw or whoever, and then come to find out it's something bad that's tricking you? Or
yes,
how do you tell? Is it a gut thing?
Well, you can actually feel the difference.
Okay.
If it's
malevolent.
That
is evil.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is just totally different.
Okay.
It's a thick, dark, heavy feeling.
Dread.
Yes.
And it can make you physically sick, too.
Yes, it
can. I've heard that, too, yeah.
And the good spirits, you might feel sadness or loneliness or something like that. You know, it varies from ghost to ghost, good to bad. Some people, they can feel the energy and can tell when it's good or bad, or when it's almost borderline, they're a spirit, but it's not yet a evil spirit.
Is there neutral spirits, I guess, that aren't good or bad? They're just maybe neutral?
Well, from my account...
and can both occupy the same space? Can you have a house that's haunted with good and bad spirits, or do they stay away from each other?
Yeah, you can have both in wherever.
And sometimes, you remember, we've had a case like this before where something that was bad in the house was keeping something good from being able to move on.
Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty trippy if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's mind melding.
But I felt a bad spirit one time, and it was in a room, and I didn't want to go back in there.
Yeah.
Turned out later I had to, but... I did what I had to do, and I got out.
Yeah, you just felt that sense of just, ugh, that stress, that pressure.
It was like, I got in there, and it's like, I don't want to be in here.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really sure.
Yeah. I've heard that it just feels heavy on you.
Oh, yeah.
That, or you get anxious or nervous, and it's like, you know, I can't stay here. I got to go. I got to go.
It was kind of scary.
Huh. It's kind of how I was when they put me in that dark room the first time that I didn't know that that doll was in the museum.
Oh, yeah.
I just knew something was in there with me, and I just got really, really anxious. And I couldn't climb over people quick enough to get out of there.
Well, not to promote a movie or anything, but look at Annabelle.
I don't want to.
He didn't like dolls.
I know, but an evil spirit went into the doll and tricked the people into thinking it's something good to invite them in. And once it got in, it's extremely difficult to get it out.
Well, isn't that loosely based on actual events?
Yes.
Was Annabelle one of those?
Yes.
Wow.
You don't invite them in.
Yes. Yeah. You don't ever invite anything in.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I've heard so much, especially people that have been doing this a long time, how you can accidentally have something kind of piggyback. Kind of
attachments.
Yeah. How do you deal with that? And how do you prevent that? Because I certainly wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want a ghost to follow me home.
Most of the time.
Unless they're going to pay rent.
Most of the time, if you're doing an investigation somewhere and you get ready to leave, all right, nobody follow us home. Stay here. You're not welcome with us.
Do you have to welcome them or not welcome them, though? Or can they, can they disobey?
They can disobey.
Especially if it's a bad spirit, can't say, forget you, I'm going anyway.
They can disobey, and when they do, that means you can forcefully remove them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is harder.
And energy draining.
Yeah. We've had to do
that. What do you do in that case? Like, say if somebody calls Shadow Stalkers Paranormal and they get in touch with you guys and they're like, hey, I got this problem. I think my house is haunted. It's bad. I have these bad feelings like you described. And I don't want it there. I mean, you basically, it's like real life Ghostbusters, you know, like call a Ghostbusters, get rid of this thing. What do you do for those people?
We'll go in and find out if it's
good or bad.
I would assume find out if it's actually something for real. Debunking.
High concentrations of EMF say, well, you got to figure everything, your computer, fridge, TV, even the mics give off some level of EMF. Power lines.
Yeah.
Is there a high concentration of EMF anywhere in the house? Because it will literally make you hallucinate, headaches, make you physically sick to your stomach.
Mm-hmm. It's basically like lead poisoning, except it's electrical poisoning, basically.
Exactly. Because you got to think, our bodies, like you said earlier, are run on electrical impulses. Everything we do in our body is run from electricity. So you overload that, it's like overloading a TV. It's going to explode. And so if your body explodes and you start getting headaches, nausea, hallucinating, because you got all this EMF in your brain affecting those signals up there, making you see things that's actually not there. That's a rare occasion to where that much energy would make somebody think their house is haunted.
So you provide answers for them to start with.
Yes.
So what your opinion is professionally, what's going on?
We'll go through, we'll do a base reading, and has this ghost or spirit physically harmed you? Do you feel threatened? Has anything moved? Doors open, closed, lights on or off? Try to find out what we're dealing with and how we can get rid of it. And a lot of people doesn't realize that a ghost is not going to hurt you. They'll make you hurt yourself if you're scared of them.
Yeah.
A demonic will actually physically hurt you if it can. So we try to differ between the two. Most of the ghosts you can say, do a sage and cleanse the house and they're gone.
Yeah, I hear a lot about different incense and stuff like that, and oils, and it's almost like an Eastern medicine kind of like a fragrance cleansing. Is that what you mean by sage, or?
Well, sage is an herb.
Yeah.
It's a natural herb. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I don't know if it's a smell or just because it's a natural herb.
It stinks.
It stinks. But it's supposed to cleanse the house of any spirits. Unless it's a demonic, and all it's going to do is make it mad. I'm not sure on the incense or any of that other stuff, or the oils, other than anointing oil and holy water. And I'm kind of, you know, they said, the old people used to say that a ghost couldn't pass iron. Well, I'm kind of getting to see the point on that. That's why they used to have the iron fences around the cemeteries.
Oh, interesting.
So I've started using iron horseshoe nails in with a cleansing.
Interesting.
Put them over the doorways or the windows, things like that to kind of help protect. I'll use anything that I can to get rid of them, help protect our family and their home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
tarot cards.
Tarot cards.
They kind of invite the unwanted.
Yeah, I've heard it just throws out the welcome mat.
I've heard too many stories about the Ouija board. Somebody tried to burn one, and as it started burning, it felt like they was burning.
Yeah.
So we don't mess with any of that stuff.
Yeah, when I was in high school, a group of guys got out a Ouija board and started messing around with it. And of course, you know, they were being silly. We were drinking and stuff. And at one point, they were laughing and cutting up and kind of being serious too. But at one point, they had let go of the little slider thing and it moved by itself. And they, you know, freaked out. You know, everybody throws the Ouija board and starts running. And of course, I wasn't like messing with the Ouija board because I'm kind of like you. I'm like, you know, why risk that being a doorway or a window?
A bad idea is a bad idea.
Yeah, so it just seems like a bad idea to me. So I wasn't participating, but I actually witnessed that happen. And I was like, yeah, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Exactly.
Well, I've only got a couple more questions. Jerm made some notes too here. I'll let him ask you. I wanted to... The thing I really like about Shadow Stalkers Paranormal is that y'all don't just go investigate. Like, y'all help the community. Like, you do fundraisers. You help historical buildings raise funds because... And I'm finding out more and more about this as we go. These buildings, and a lot of them, you know, that they say are haunted, the upkeep on them, you know, costs money.
Yes, and
they need repairs. They need upkeep. I mean, they're not new buildings. They're old. And they need help, and you guys actually go out and help the community and help the historical societies and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the buildings and the people that we try to help, they, like you said, they're old. They need upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose them, we can never get those back.
Exactly.
You know.
And they don't make them like they used to.
It's up to us to try to help keep these buildings up to grade so future generations can go in there and enjoy the buildings and what's inside of them.
And preserve it if we can.
Right.
It's
sure.
Like the log cabin at the museum. It's 150, 180-year-old cabin, 181-year-old cabin. They needed a new roof, which was the wood shingles, which had to be each one cut individually.
Time-consuming and expensive.
Yeah.
It was 50...
Labor-intensive.
$50,000 just for the repairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, they got grants and funds and stuff, but... You know, as far as a part of the community, it's our responsibility, too, to try to help do the upkeep on it. And I know we've done an investigation for a terminally ill child and tried to make it a little easier for her and the family at the time. And then, like with the podcast and the second stage of the Railroad Festival, you know, we try to help out, do what we can. It may not be much, but every little bit counts.
Oh, absolutely. I know, you know, like I said at the start of the interview, we couldn't do it without you because, you know, if we didn't have sponsors, there wouldn't be a show because we have expenses. And I know these historical buildings and stuff like that, definitely appreciate the support and you helping out because, I mean, you could go do these investigations and just do it for yourself, but you, that's what I'm glad that y'all are sponsors of us because I really like what your paranormal group does for the community. And another thing I like about Shadow Stalkers is that you see a lot of these, especially smaller paranormal groups, go and do their thing and it's all inclusively, but you actually invite people to come do to not just witness it, but to participate.
Participate in the rest of it.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool.
Well, even with IPRT, we done that. And with Shadow Stalkers, there's a lot of people out there that believe, that are looking to experience something. And then there's others that'll come, that just stand back at the corner like, looking around like, what's going to happen? Something's going to scare me.
Yeah.
Something's going to jump out and grab me. I'm just waiting for it.
Yeah.
But we try to get the community involved, not just to help with the building, but in with the investigation so we can kind of educate them a little bit.
Right.
You know, a ghost is not going to... It's not going to kill you. It's not going to scare you to death. But there's people that is just so terrified of it.
For sure, yeah, because there's so much unknown there.
And I don't know if that's why they're terrified of it or if it's just because they're afraid that something's going to jump out and grab them.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was always like, especially with the old team and stuff, I was always like, it's a way to educate the public, because you know as well as I do, you have people hit you up all the time wanting to either join your team or tag along on investigations, and when you're doing private residence and stuff like that, you can't do that. So it's a way to get people that are interested in it out and, you know, basically, I guess, educate them on it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of which, talking about a historical site, Prism, they're actually supposed to be doing a week-long investigation from Tuesday to Saturday in October, the last week of October, at the Reich House in Aberdeen.
Hmm.
Okay.
And all the money that they're going to get is going back to the Reich House for repairs of the outside of the home.
Okay, so that's open to the public. Anybody can come, and you just pay a small fee and do the...
Well, I don't know how much the fee is yet. They hadn't got back with me, but...
Are y'all going to be helping them out up there at that one? Or?
That's another cool thing about you guys. Y'all team up with a lot of other paranormal groups, and you have throughout your entire run.
We have.
Time permitting, we will help out.
If needed,
we'll be glad to.
Well, for any of our listeners out there that want to find out more about Shadow Stalkers, what's the best place to get in touch with and find out more?
Facebook, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal.
That's where you funnel everybody through, and it's got there's people that check it and respond back to messages and whatnot.
Yeah, whenever I can get my tech guy to
slow down for a minute.
Do anything on there.
Yeah.
Nah, he's good.
He's been working crazy hours.
He has. I gotta aggravate him a little bit.
Well, cool. Do y'all have anything else coming up that you want to plug? Anything in the works that you know about yet? Or does everybody just need to keep an eye on the Facebook for announcements?
Just keep an eye on the Facebook for right now. We all work odd hours, and it's hard to get everybody off on the same day. We was actually going to try to do something at the museum, but I don't think they're going to allow us to do anything else there for a while. So we was going to do one last year for the terminally ill child, which was the granddaughter of one of my teammates. And they said, we're not going to do it this year. We're taking a break. So I don't even know if we're going to try anything unless Prism asks us to come down and help out or something.
Gotcha.
We're open for ideas, though.
Right on. You got anything else?
Pretty well covered it.
Well, I sure appreciate y'all coming out. I especially, you know, since y'all are sponsors of the show, I'm glad you came to do an in-studio rather than over the phone. It's better to, you know, just sit around the bar and talk and chat for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely enjoyed it.
We'll definitely be in touch with you guys. Like I said, the Halloween season's just getting started, and it's a big deal for us, and we're really glad that you guys are a part of it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
We got a good response from our list. I enjoyed doing the list. Yep. Lists are fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We got such a good response from our list that we actually have in studio live with us, Sean Cancer Flayer.
Cancer Flayer.
Cancer Flayer. Not Cancer Slayer. What because I slur too much.
You just skint that cancer.
How do you feel that I just destroyed your intro to this podcast? Is that good?
It's very, very
it's very appropriate. It has nothing to do with the beers I've drank tonight, I promise.
Absolutely none.
I think it would be appropriate for you to list off your top 10 greatest wrestlers of all time. On the air with us. But you got to start with number 10.
10? Yeah, about to say. I'd have to go 10 and then from there.
Should we mix in our listeners like we did with ours? Should we mix that in with their top 10?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, on the line, Jameson Yeager sent his top 10. Kill Pop Culture alumni. Also, Kill Pop Culture alumni, Clint Ritter, sent us his top 5. So as you're listing yours off, we're gonna mix theirs in.
All right, sounds good.
Which one you want to take?
What you got for number 10, Sean? Go for it.
Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah. Bang, bang. All right, now, which incarnation of Mick Foley? Cactus Jack,
all
Mankind,
of them.
Dude Love.
You have to include all of them because without all of them, I don't think he'd make the list.
Which one do you remember the most? For me, it would be Mankind because that was the epic choke slam off the top of the cell.
That's exactly why that first... Him and The Undertaker on the steel cage, and then him coming back around with the Socko thing.
Oh, yeah.
That definitely put him, you know, for
sure. With the Rock and Sock connection.
Yeah, the Rock and Sock connection just put him over, for sure.
Jameson Yeager has, for his number 10, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, which he's been, I think, in all of our top 10s.
Yeah.
What do you got for your number 9?
Sting.
Mm.
Also a good one.
Yeah, like I mentioned on the last episode, he was the man that held out the longest before going to WWE, and the WWE is the big leagues of wrestling, and he didn't even need it.
Nope, didn't so need legendary. It. Didn't want it.
Jameson has Kevin Owens for number 9.
It's also a good pick.
KO is great. I wouldn't have put him in my top 10 greatest of all time yet. Because he's still in the early stages of his career. I think there's...
But he's on his way.
He's a future top tenner.
Yeah. There's a lot of development stuff that they can still do with him.
All right, what you got for 8?
Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo!
What more is there to be said?
And what else do you need?
That's it.
Jameson has a good one for number 8. He's got Edge.
Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot about him.
Yeah. Edge, man, that dude.
Had he not had that accident, he'd still be going now.
And yeah. And what's funny is that you mentioned Ric Flair right before that, and like he idolizes Ric Flair.
Or not accident, but got told he couldn't do anymore.
Yeah.
Number 7.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. I don't think I had him on my list, and I feel bad about
that. He was on my list.
Yeah, you should.
Was he on my list?
He was on my list.
He should have been on my list. He could tell a story in the ring.
Yeah.
Man.
And just, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff that I always heard about him, that he was really anal and particular about his matches. Like, a lot of the wrestlers were like, nah, let's just go out there and do it. And Macho Man was like, no. You do this, 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 then I come back on this, this, then you do the comeback on me. And then, like, he planned out the whole match. Like,
even his promos were killer. Just, they seemed like they were off the top of the head, but they just, you know, were pouring on.
Oh, I mean, his promos were like Ultimate Warrior promos, but they actually made sense.
Right.
It's like the intensity along with. And I'm saying that about my top number one guy.
Look, you remember this about Macho Man, though. He could play a good guy or a bad guy. A face or a heel, either one.
It's like the Stone Cold thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jameson Yeager has for his number 7, Chris Benoit.
That's a great one.
Another good one.
Yeah, he was a grappler. Who was it that... it was Chris Benoit and maybe Stone Cold. It was him and somebody that had an amateur wrestling background, and they just called it on the fly in the ring to do like a whole... grappling segment, and then they went back to pro wrestling.
Could have been Dean Malenko?
No, I want to say... I don't know. It was good, though. What's your number 6?
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. He's the Babe Ruth of freaking pro wrestling.
I like Hollywood Hogan, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
That was my era.
That was the biggest heel turn of all time. And, you know, back when I was lobbying for Cena to turn heel, that's what I used as an example. You had the biggest babyface of all time that turned heel and created the NWO, essentially.
Yeah.
Which... people wear NWO shirts now.
Which, what a fun little fact about that. I watched where Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were talking about this, and they were doing, they had originally had Sting picked out as their third guy.
Yeah.
And then, but they, Hogan was kind of like, hold up now. Y'all ain't getting on that money train without me. So that became the NWO.
Jameson's number 6 is Chris Jericho. Can't argue with that. Talk is Jericho is one of my favorite go-to podcasts. And I actually really like Fozzy. Yeah. I remember when me and you, Sean, started talking about Fozzy. This was like not in the like
when we
early
just
2000s. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know the wrestler Chris Jericho? He has a band. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he's got a band called Fozzy. And when I started listening to it, I was like, I was expecting it to suck, but...
Right.
Dude, the more they progress, the better their stuff gets. Who is your number 5?
The Undertaker.
Yeah, the Dead Man.
But I prefer the American Badass.
Really?
Yeah, see, I'm opposite.
That's a first.
I do.
You like the American
Badass.
Like
the Dead Man American Badass.
Okay.
Because he was more lively in that, and he seemed like his body... and all his moves and everything were just like...
he wasn't as stiff.
Yeah, he didn't have that stiff persona as the Undertaker kind of thing, you know? Like, he was able to let loose.
I guess I could see that.
And he started doing the last ride thing.
Yeah, the motorcycle run through. And
well, no, the power bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, his finisher changed from the Tombstone Piledriver to the last ride, which is... I forget what the...
it's like a power bomb.
Yeah, it's like a power bomb. He just picks him up.
But he don't pick him up. He got him off the top buckle, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Then he lift him up even further.
Yeah.
And then would
and
slam
then press
him.
Yeah. What was that? Number
5.
Jameson has Dean Malenko, and now we can mix Clint in because he did top 5.
Clint's got
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio. That's actually a good one.
I had him on my original list, but I was thinking like big names like ever, like...
Yeah, Rey Mysterio, I mean,
he did a lot for the luchadors.
He was, I mean, his moves and everything. He did more than anybody else.
Yeah, he was a busy body in the ring.
But with that body, you know.
No telling what he did for merchandising, too.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
So you're number...
Four.
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold!
Rattlesnake.
Dun, 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 dun. Like, what's great is so far, to this point, there's not been a list that didn't have him on there.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Exactly. Clint's number four was Edge.
Nice.
And Jameson's was Stone Cold.
Wow. Yep.
Y'all both nailed that one.
Yeah. Look at that. We're already in the final three. What you got?
The Warrior.
The Ultimate Warrior. Woo! That was my number one.
Like, I didn't grow up with the Warrior, but the what he left and the rumors and stuff.
The legacy.
The legacy left, because I always heard about it, but it wasn't until later, way later, that I saw, like, footage, and I was like, holy shit. Like...
He's the only guy, correct me if I'm wrong, that like would just come run into the ring.
Yeah, just the energy he put out there back when those guys weren't really doing it. You know, they were like lock up in the middle of the ring with the boring arm locks and all that stuff during that time. Like he was his body
wide ass open.
Yeah, his body and everything was
coming
like
out shaking the ropes.
You would have thought he was from like the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And it was funny by today's standards, like if you go back and look at his body. By today's standards, he's not just a freak, but back then, he was a freak.
Yeah.
Now, wasn't it him and Sting?
Like, he was
that
freak
actually,
huge.
Him and Sting, didn't they actually start out as like tag team?
They started
out
as a tag team. The Ultimate Warrior was actually the Dingo Warrior in like WCCW in Texas. And they were called, I think, the Renegades when they were together. But yeah, they used to run together for a while. And the Ultimate Warrior was completely insane. I think he really changed things for wrestling. He did everything differently.
Yeah, you couldn't be like fat and lazy anymore.
Right. Exactly. Like, what's your excuse now? Look at this guy.
Clint or Jameson, number three?
Number three, Jameson has The Rock, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Clint has
The Miz.
I'm a big Miz guy, man. I love his backstory.
Yeah.
I love how he came from reality TV and took all that money and went to wrestling school. Like, instead of trying to get his foot in the door with the fame, he actually went and
he's the real
trained.
Deal.
Yeah.
And he came up with his own style, his own
everything.
Like, I loved his title reign. When I went to WrestleMania 33. When was that? When we went to Atlanta? What WrestleMania was that?
7 years ago?
Yeah.
It was 2010, 2011?
Yeah.
It was like 32 or 33, I guess.
No, it was less than that.
Yeah, it was
in the 20s.
Yeah, it would have been 28, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Somebody fact check me on that. Somebody fact check me on my own WrestleMania. Anyway, when we went to that, he was actually the champ, and he wore it well.
Well, you know he's a champ now, too.
Well, yeah, he's the Intercontinental?
Universal.
No, he's Intercontinental.
Intercontinental champion.
Did I name? Yeah, Jameson's. Yeah.
This Clint,
number three,
I mean,
was Rock.
Sean Stern now, number two.
Number two.
The Showstopper, Shawn Michaels.
That's
man.
A good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, what can you say? He carried the torch for WWE when WCW was burning it up.
Yeah.
And like, also though, he was like one of the few guys. I could like get in McMahon's face back then.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, because he was still there. He didn't leave.
He was the money maker. He was.
He didn't get going while the going was good.
He was all money. I watched an interview with Kevin Nash.
He kind of held all the cards against Vince in a way.
That's what Kevin Nash was talking about in this Wonder interview I saw, where he was like one of the few people that could say F you to McMahon about what McMahon wanted to do and get away with it. And Shawn Michaels would brag about it, but Kevin Nash would be like, well, yeah, well, it's still a big man's game. Because McMahon was all about the big guys. Like
sure.
Sid Vicious, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash.
He still pushes the big guys.
Oh, you know McMahon is just loving the shit out of Braun Strowman.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Brock Lesnar's back, and he's like, oh, my God. Look at those big men.
And Big Show's got abs now, so.
Are you looking at them? Are you looking at those big men? Those are big men.
Shane, why couldn't you have been a big man?
Shane, what?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Wow.
Jameson's number two.
Jameson's number two is Sting.
That's a good one.
Yep.
I gotta go with Clint on this one, though.
Absolutely, Jerry Lawler.
Jerry the King Lawler.
He's the king.
Memphis is on.
The Farmer Time.
Huh? Yeah, I could see that.
I never saw. I only knew him as an announcer.
Oh, that dude. He actually, I watched him wrestle in Angry not long ago.
Well, yeah, well, I've saw him do that too.
But his heyday was. Oh, yeah, and
his heyday,
Sean's
though.
Time,
his heyday, we got to talk to Bill Dundee and hear some stories about him and Jerry Lawler. So, you know, that was always kind of the early heyday stuff for them.
All right, this is it. This is number one. Who you got?
The Rock.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
The Rock, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. I feel like I've said that before.
Just because I got to see that start from the beginning,
yep.
Like when he was in the Nation of Domination and then broke off from that and became, watch him grow Rocky as that Maivia character. Yeah. Well, just him
so you literally lived through the entire full circle.
Yeah, yeah, full circle.
From debut to movies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, debut to movies. Just watching him in those 4 years of him being just The Rock, you know,
yeah,
and he turned the world wrestling world upside down. The promos that he did, I mean, everything you couldn't. He had everything: the looks, the mouth. I mean, the wrestling ability. I mean, he was a whole package. Like, how many times does that happen?
And he still comes back to like WrestleManias and stuff, and can pull it off today well as he could.
I'm just saying, having the full package like that. Like, how many people get that?
And you know what it surprises me, what I find ironic about The Rock? It doesn't surprise me because he's got more time to dedicate to it now, but when he was wrestling versus like his body now, he looks more like a wrestler now than he ever has.
Right, yeah.
Like he's huge, like he's buff. Like he was pretty ripped when he was wrestling, but now he's like just
he lives and breathes.
Stacked and jacked. And I actually saw a funny meme. It had like The Rock when he was a wrestler, and then The Rock was when he was on the set of like G.I. Joe when he was like super jacked. Yeah. And it said only The Rock could make The Rock look like a bitch.
Yes.
That's like, damn. It. All right, number one, Jameson Yeager has Triple H. Time to play the game. I think Triple H is a great wrestler. Me and you were talking about this before we started recording about how smart Triple H is.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. Like,
he's got the mind for wrestling.
Yeah, he's very business-minded behind the scenes.
He knew.
Oh, yeah. Like, kids watching wrestling now will still be... Like, that'll be the Vince McMahon, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Clint's number
Clint's
one.
Clint's got the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo! Can't disagree.
No.
Nope.
They say you got to mention... I actually kind of like his honorable mentions. Jameson's honorable mentions.
Do you have an honorable mention?
Mine would have been like
Chris Benoit and like
you
Chris
had
Jericho.
You had Andre on there too at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, but before my time.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that.
I understand that.
You know, wrestling has a lot to do with...
How old you are?
Yeah, when you came up in
it. Yeah, it's all about the perspective.
Like, my honorable mentions would have been, like, Edge, Chris Benoit, and Chris Jericho, for sure.
Yeah.
And Rey Mysterio. Like, those four. Those are the big four honorable for me.
Jameson Yeager's honorable mentions are Seth Rollins, Goldberg, and Lex Luger's wheelchair. Too soon, bro. Too soon.
Wow.
Wow.
Awesome.
By the way, the opinions of our affiliates is not necessarily the opinions of Kill Pop
Culture at all.
Please do not send us hate mail. No, dude, Lex Luger, he was a freaking man.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
We talked about Lex Luger on the last episode because I was offended that they didn't pick him to play He-Man.
That would have been
because he had the hair and he just jacked to the roof.
He'd have done better than Dolph Lundgren.
Wow.
Like, just picture him with, like, He-Man's little X armor thing.
And the sword.
Who was the guy that Arnold played? What movie was that? Where Arnold played? Conan.
Conan, yeah.
Like Luger could have played that guy, too.
He could have played Conan.
Or anybody that was super jacked. Yeah. Like, he had, like, the big neck. Like,
yeah.
He had the big, like, vascular. Like, his neck had biceps. And, like, what are those things called on the cobra that flare out?
The hood? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His traps.
His traps were like a cobra's hood.
Are you going to say that about... Big Papa Pump or whatever.
Oh, Scott. Oh,
Steiner.
Yeah,
Steiner. Yeah, Steiner. Yeah.
All right, that was the top 10 greatest wrestlers of all time. If you want to email us and tell us what your top 10 is, send them in. We'll read them off on the air.
You'll make the list.
You'll make the list.
You just made the list!
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
But where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
I decided to talk slow on this outro. I feel like I kind of rushed that intro a little bit.
Well, we had some good stuff to share with... We had some good stuff to share with everybody.
Well, I feel like I was excited, and I had like a list in front of me of information, and I just wanted to blurt it all out, and yeah, I wasn't relaxed.
So if you need a quick...
Let's go back and do it again real quick.
Yeah.
Redo. No, I'm not doing that again.
If you need a quick recap, just hit rewind and listen to it again.
Hey, I think on the... If you listen to this on iTunes... I know you can speed up podcasts.
Yeah.
I think you can slow them down, too.
Yeah, you can go back.
So just go back and listen to that intro again and slow it down by like half a second. So I'm talking like this.
You know, maybe even on some of these
like
apps. Some of these apps or something, you might can actually play it backwards. I'm not sure what the message would be.
I don't know. About. I don't know what use that would be, either. So anyway, being relaxed, talking slow. I want to thank Shadow Stalkers for coming by. Sean, of course, he didn't really stop by. He's here a lot. We just
finally got him
put
on.
Put him on the spot. Yeah. Let's keep this Halloween thing going, and let's keep the lists going. I enjoy doing the list thing.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's fun.
And thank you for everybody that actually did respond and give feedback on it and everything. Like we say, if you email us and you don't want your name mentioned, just tell us. You know, you want to remain anonymous, but we can read your list or whatever. You know, we'll do that.
The next list that we need from you, the listeners, is your top 10, or you can do 5. Favorite horror movies. We gotta do that. I wanna do that like kind of the whole month of Halloween.
Yeah.
The whole month of October. Just list off people's favorite horror movies. And if you wanna put a brief little description why, sort of like we did with the wrestlers, we didn't elaborate on all of them because we listed some of the same ones and whatnot, but we wanna know what your what the best horror movies of all time are. And you gotta take into consideration franchise, scare factor, creep factor,
gore factor.
Yeah, like just everything that's just the quintessential best horror movies of all time. If we get enough lists, we might could do like
a couple a week.
No, do like a the top 10 of the top 10.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the top 5 of the top 10. Like, yeah. If everybody, for example, had Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the first one, on there, it would definitely make it to the, you know, the main list.
Yeah.
Like the list to end all lists.
And depending on how many of them had it close together as to in their top number or whatever, we could put it close to that same number.
in the final.
All right, so again, we got an interview coming this month from the owners of the Greg Hamilton House. We're going to be out with Prism at the Reich House. Tony Kay is going to be here next week to telling us all about that. We've got the first annual Haunted Hellfest coming up. That is going to be amazing. We've got the Tupelo Haunted Castle.
I'm excited about that.
And I know that, at the Lyric this year, they're going to be doing a big thing. They always have a big haunted house out there. Hey, and if you guys have any haunted houses you want us to plug, I think everybody needs to get out and go visit the haunted trails and the haunted houses. And people put a lot of work into some of those. And I know we used to... I remember when I was younger, man, that was the big thing. You got the Monroe County Shopper, and you went through, because all of them had an ad.
We
would circle all of them.
Right.
And be like, ooh, this one looks really cool. Like, oh, this one was awesome last year. Let's hit that one first.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. There was a church that put on a haunted house. I think it was Victory.
Yeah, it was like the Heaven or Hell or something.
No. This was just a haunted house.
Oh, really?
It was like super gore, super like, it was amazing.
Wow.
And I went through that thing like 5 times, man. I paid my money every time.
Well, I saw where Barney, not self-plugging his Tupelo Haunted Castle thing, but he actually went through it for the first time with people this year, and he said that the scare factor is definitely there.
Oh, it's already started.
Oh, yeah, it started...
there you go. Go ahead and hit up the Tupelo Haunted Castle.
It started this last weekend.
You can find it on Facebook. Go out there now early before the huge crowds come in.
Yeah.
Because you know around Halloween it's going to be packed.
If you have a house that is haunted that you need us to come investigate, if we can't investigate it, we know some people that can.
And I have in my notes, well, there's a couple of things that we're still working on that we haven't completely finalized. But there's one thing, if it works out, it's going to be really cool. I just put special interview in there, and that's all I'm going to tell you right now. But if it works out, it's going to be somewhat of a continuation of something we've already touched on.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah.
It's going to kind of...
The second chapter.
Yeah, it's the next... This is like the sequel to something we did.
And which is kind of like what we do really with the Halloween specials every year, as a continuation from the last year in one way or the other.
I like full circle, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like things going full circle. All right, well, that's... What episode is this?
79.
Is it 79?
I think so.
You hold your horses. Let me look that up. Your horses need to be held.
They do need to be held sometimes.
Like, horses deserve to be held.
Nope, 80.
No, this is 79. This is where...
That's the
folder where I've been editing.
Yay, I got it right.
And we still haven't done a recap.
No, we should do that probably...
Next week?
Well, either that or...
This is a long episode. We did the wrestling thing with Sean. We did the interview.
We'll try to get to it next week, but it may be the week after. We're closing in on 100 pretty quick.
Yeah, it's happening. All right, people. Start working on that list. Let me tell you how I did my lists. And this might help you. Like, I thought about my list for a while. Then I wrote all the names down. And then I put them in order. Like, I wrote the numbers beside them after the fact. That might help you. Because I knew who I wanted in my 10, but I wasn't exactly sure what number each person would go in.
Right.
Well, Sean really put a lot of work into his.
Yeah, he had like 6 drafts of his.
Yeah, you should see the piece of paper, because he would scribble through and write, something scribble and write. But, yeah, have fun with that. I think it's going to be really cool. And we'll see you back here next week. We'll be talking to Prism about this big event that we're going to be at. And hopefully y'all are going to be there too.
See you then.
I wanted to take a quick minute to tell everyone where they can find Kill Pop Culture online and what we call
the list.
You just made the list!
Thank you, Chris Jericho. We're on Facebook.com/Kill Pop Culture Podcast. Our Twitter is at KillPopC. You can open your Instagram app and search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on there as well. Our Podomatic website is killpopculture.podomatic.com. You can download the Podomatic app. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe. We're on Google Play. You have to go to Google Play Music and then search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Player.fm, SoundCloud.com/KillPopCulture. To find our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search for Kill Pop Culture.
You just made the list!
Go to AdvertiseCast.com to find out how you, yes you, can be a part of Kill Pop Culture by way of advertisement. And last but not least, you can send us an email anytime at KillPopCulture69@gmail.com.
You just made the list!